time. Thank you, Kelsey. Zuri's back. All right, let's welcome Zuri back. Yeah. You're the star of the day, Zuri. Sorry. But that was awesome. The video was awesome. Thank you for doing that. And God bless you on your life in Christ going forward. This is really cool. So you really, gosh, you guys, you know, when we do baptisms, it's like a reminder to all of us. It's like, this is what it's about. This is what it's all about, right? We do a lot of things as churches to, you know, keep ourselves going and, you know, do the things because we have to disciple. We need to keep, right? We've got to keep growing in Christ. We've got to disciple in Christ. The men got to get together and encourage one another, like, right? Now, all of that stuff happens. But when you have a baptism, it's like, yeah, this is really what it is all about, seeing someone who at 6 years old felt an empty space and comes to this point at just short of 13 to say, this is it, and to be a community of people who can celebrate that and welcome that and bless that. And we're going to be there for Zuri as a church body. We're going to meet next Sunday, and we're going to go over all those prophetic words that Kelsey recorded, and we're going to sit down, a few of us, Jaden, who was just baptized last September, and now here she is, yeah, and we're going to go through those with her and just talk about what they mean and pray about them. So we want to keep, you know, we want to keep this going as far as, you know, her life in Christ and all of our lives in Christ. It's a reminder for all of us. I hope it's a reminder for all of us. For those of you who you know, have made that decision and given your life to Jesus, I hope it's a reminder to you of what you did and what it means. And I hope that if there's anybody who has not made that step or have struggled with, you know, whether I should or please come and talk to me and let's figure out if this is a step for you. Someone already has today come up to talk to me about baptism. So we want to keep nurturing this spirit of celebration and joy about what God does when he touches people's lives. And that would be, if I had to have a title, which I don't have titles, because every time I do a title, then the sermon changes, and then I have to change the title, and just it's such a hassle. But if I had a title, it would be that the church really does matter. It really does. And you know, we can hear in the news all the things that happen in, you know, in ministries and with ministers and which, by the way, is another reason why elders is a good idea, so that there's a constant accountability, there's a constant checking in, there's a constant, you know, relationship building for whoever the... What I did not finish was that after the elders are in place, then we will be looking for a senior pastor elder who will be one of the elders and who will serve with their support. And so that's still part of the process that we haven't finished up yet, and we're still working on. So the feeling that I have today coming into this, as I asked Jesus, what do you want to say to the church today, Jesus? I really felt him say, tell them that church matters. Not because it's another group you should belong to, or because, you know, we tell you that it matters because we just want to build something about us or for ourselves or for our names. I'm retiring. I'm retiring after 36 years here in this room and seeing a lot that God has done in this room. 42 years of ministry, 36 years. But at the end of it all, as I'm coming down the pike here, I just feel the incredible, incredible burden to tell people that church really matters. And that means that Christian community matters. It means that there is a created purpose that God made us for, and it involves becoming a community on the earth that testifies to who Jesus is and becomes Jesus to the world, so that people can not just hear the good news, the incredible good news, that we're not earning our way to heaven. Oh my goodness. Why didn't somebody tell me that sooner? That somebody already earned it for us. And that we are to become one with him, and we are to merge our lives with his, and we are to exchange with him all of our sin into his account and his perfect righteousness into our account. Who doesn't want that deal? The good news is, you guys, the good news is that we're not going to get to heaven. This is important. We're not going to get to heaven and look around and say, yeah, I figured I'd make it. Or, yeah, I'm not surprised Jack's not here, you know, right? Oh, Jack. Oh, whoops. You are here. It's not going to be like that, you guys. You know, Paul says very clearly in Romans 3, you know, after he goes through, he says, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. No, not one. None. Not Mother Teresa, not Billy Graham, not the Pope. No one is righteous in the eyes of God. We've all fallen short. But now, God has made a way known that through his grace, there is an atoning sacrifice that was his son dying on the cross that is ours to claim or not. We can claim it or not. We can wrestle this through and say, I think I'm good enough. I think I'm a pretty good person. I think I got this. You can do that. But you're going to be responsible for all your sins. It's not going to turn out well. Or we can say, I don't have this. I can't do it. I have fallen short of the glory of God. I need Jesus, and I need his sacrifice to pay the price for my sin. And he will do it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's why it's called good news. That's why it's called evangelism. It's because it's evangelion. It's the good news, the proclamation of a favorable decision by the king is what that word was used for. The king has decided to release amnesty for everyone who has charges against them. But you have to claim it. You got to get it. Zuri got it. That's what it's about. That there's a community that keeps saying that. That there's a community who keeps telling people that. There's a community who keeps declaring it. There's a community of people who come together in the created purpose of Genesis. You know, in Genesis, God said it's not good that Adam be alone. Isolation is not what we were created for. It's community. Because we were created by an eternal community of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is an eternal community of three personalities and just one essence. We call it God. We use the word Trinity to try to capture that a little bit, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit in union with each other, complementing each other, blessing each other, playing different roles, but all together in one essence. And they said, let us create humanity in our image. The eternal community. And they created, and so God created humanity in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So there's this community that we, if we're in the image and likeness of an eternal community, guess what that means is written into us and is part of us. It's connection. It's people. It's community. It's touching God and touching each other and the God in each other. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit, when you get the Holy Spirit in you, it is like a magnet to the Holy Spirit in every other person. And you just get around somebody with the Holy Spirit in you, gets around somebody else with the Holy Spirit in them, and you feel a connection, right? Come on, somebody saying amen out there. I hear it. I heard you, Sunil. I heard you, Sandra. I saw you. So you know, it's like there is something that happens, and God says, yes, that's what happens because, and then you draw together. Church is the drawing together. It is the place where you connect, and the Holy Spirit in me and the Holy Spirit in you, the Jesus in me and the Jesus in you, encourages each other. We encourage that spirit in each other. We feel encouraged by it, and we leave here stronger than when we came. And it doesn't matter what the songs were that day. It doesn't matter what the message was that day. What matters is God's people came together, and there is a dynamic quality that is a reverberation of the Trinity itself taking place. And Jesus invited us into this. This is crazy, you guys. In John 17, John 17, 21, Jesus is praying. It's the night before he dies, and he's praying, and he's saying, Father, 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 my prayer is not just for these disciples that I've been praying for. I'm praying for those who will believe in me through their message. And he's saying, so that's us. Jesus was praying for us because he's thinking forward. You know, not just the ones here, but all of those who will hear the good news, and it'll click. Something clicks. It's like, wait a minute. I think this is true. I think God's making this offer. I want this. I have an empty space in me that I want filled, and I think he's got the answer for it. That's who Jesus is praying for, and he's saying that in all of them, those who believe that all of them may be one, okay, connected together. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Do you see that, right? The Father, Son, right? The Father's in the Son's in the Father. There's a dynamic quality. And if we say, well, that doesn't make sense, of course it doesn't make sense. If God made sense, he wouldn't be God. I don't want a God who makes sense. I want a God that my brain can't figure out. Okay? That's a God. Everything else, it would be just a superhuman, right? A human with superpowers. That's not God. God is unexplainable. But we know because somebody came down, and it was God in human flesh, and taught us these things and said, Father, just as you're in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us. Oh my gosh, Jesus is inviting us in to this eternal community. He's saying, you can be a member of the eternal community. Zuri, welcome. This community, yes. And we're just a sampling of it. We're just a little sampling of the eternal community that is going to be hundreds of millions of billions of people who have all found the good news and received it, whose sins were forgiven. That's why Paul says there's no boasting in heaven. Do you know why? Because everybody in heaven isn't, they're not, we're not going to be in heaven going, wow, we did it. Daryl, man, we rocked it, man. We did that thing. Man, Daryl, good dude. I was worried about you a couple times, but man, look, you're here. You know, and thanks for Sue being there, right? No, you know, it's going to be, we are all going to fall on our faces and said, look what he did. I'm not looking at me. If it were me, I would have fallen short and I'd be done. Look what he did. It will be so gloriously beautiful to see the man who died my death for me, who walked down the prison row while I was sitting there waiting for execution and the death penalty, and came in my cell and said, Tom, I'm going to take your place. They're going to allow me to take your place. You can leave. I'm like, what? Like, they're going to allow you to take my place? You're going to come sit in here and do this? Yes. Now leave and go and live a life worthy of what I've just done. So heaven is going to be so gloriously beautiful, you guys. It's going to be so cool. It's going to be so awesome. We're not going to be comparing each other. We're not going to be competing with each other. We're going to be celebrating what Jesus did. I'm going to celebrate what Jesus did in Daryl. I'm going to celebrate what Jesus did in Herman. I'm going to right? Every person I see is going to be a new celebration. And that's going to go on forever. Praise God. Praise God. And so, Jesus is inviting us into this community, and this church, I'm going to talk about this church specifically because it's the one I'm in, it's the one I've been in for a long time, and I'm going to still stay here until they kick me out. That may not take long, but but I'm going to try to hang in after I retire. I will become one of you. I'm going to be one of you. Oh, boy. No, I'm just going to come to church, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to just listen to what the message is that day. And maybe sometimes, the elders and the new senior pastor will say, hey, Tom, come on up and give us a message someday. And I'll think about it. But I got to get some new stories is what I got to get before I do that. But no. But And as that, I didn't say this earlier, but if it were that the church thought that my giftings and graces as a just a member of this church would be useful in the elder realm, like if they thought that I should serve as an elder even though I'm retired and I'm just a member of the church, I would put that before the Lord, and I would do that if the Lord confirmed that, and I would say, okay, I can serve in that way. So you can nominate me. I have little brochures that I'm handing out. After there's something under your windshield wiper out in the parking lot. Vote for Tom. No. I am fine doing whatever Jesus decides he wants to do with me. I just told people I wanted to be a Jesus freak, and I would be fine sitting on the back row, barking like a dog during worship. just to stir things up, you know. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. You know, the one they have to say, please, sir, can you step out? I really want to do that before I'm done. Okay, so, but if the church matters, if this is what God feels about the church, because the church is Jesus' body, remember that there are many different images for the church, and one is the eternal, you know, community that is birthed out of the Trinity, but the other is this is actually Jesus' body. And I'm telling you what, if there's something important on earth, it's Jesus' body. When the Bible says it's the body of Jesus, it means that this is a body which has many different parts. And so, you know, you've got a part, you've got a part, you've got a part. We've all got our parts. And when we put all the parts together, we form this body, which is to be Jesus to the world, which means when people come in here, what they're encountering isn't us. What they're encountering is Jesus in us and through us. And it's every part finding its place and what it does, contributing to all the others, so that I can do something that maybe you can't do, but you got something that I can't do, and right? And so we all add together and we become this body of Jesus. And my goodness, friends, if all we do is say the message and we don't live the message, then we failed. We are supposed to be a living organism that actually comes together in unity to be Jesus, to love like Jesus loved. How did Jesus love? He gave up his life. It's an ultimate sacrifice. We're not talking about like just nice love, like, oh, let's be nice to each other. We should do that. But that's a good place to start. But when it becomes sacrificial, when it costs me, that's when love really starts, friends. If the only love I do is love that causes a response that I get something back, all I'm doing is making an exchange. I'll do this and I'll get that. It's when I do this and I don't get that, and I keep doing this and I still don't get that. That's when love is from God. This is what brings him glory. This is what he's called us all to do. And this is what he wants in a body that's got his name over it. And that's who we are, and that's what he's asking of us. And so if church matters, leadership matters. And in Acts chapter 6, the apostles couldn't handle the controversy between the widows who were of Greek background and those who were of Hebrew background. And so they appointed seven people, and they said, you guys need to do this part, and we'll do this part, and it'll work better. And so they said to the community, they said, choose seven men, specifically, they said, choose seven men and bring them to us, and we'll lay hands on them and pray for them. And they did. And that's what we're doing. We're saying, okay, look, we are being led by God in this. And so we're saying, community, that would be all the people who are members, community, choose the people, and we'll bless them, and we'll release them and as leaders and as elders over this community. And that is where you who are members come in. Those of you who aren't, I think that there's something here for you to glean from what God's doing with us. And there are seven things, I think, to do and to ask before you nominate people. The first is to trust Jesus. That's number one. I got seven things. the first thing before we nominate, and we'll be taking those envelopes today, and we'll be starting the nominating process, and it'll go for about a week and a little bit extra. Trust Jesus. These churches over here, these aren't just church buildings. These are churches that are all in this building right now. The Methodist Church on Main Street, the Main Street Hill, Main and High Street, it's torn down. They just tore it down. But that was a group of people who left that building, and that was a beautiful building. The stained glass windows in there, they were gorgeous. And the woodwork, and it was just a beautiful building until it got worn down so much that they decided it couldn't be refurbished. And they all left, and they built this building. Now, I know that these are pretty amazing windows. but I'm just saying, I love them. But I'm just saying that in comparison to the gorgeous stained glass windows that were in that building, this would have been a hard thing to move away from. You know what I mean? It'd be like, eesh. And not only that, but mom and dad and grandma and grandpa sat in those church pews with those people, and they had to leave that and all those memories. Okay? And they did, and they came here, and they built this in 1953. And this one, this church over on Bradley Avenue, just off campus, this church moved over in early 70s, when, 72. And there is one person in this church who was a part of that church, and she just spoke up. yeah, it's Roberta. And you guys, they had to walk away from all this stuff, and this little church, Grace Church, on Stanley Street on the south end, those people closed their church because it got real small. Is there anybody here from Stanley Street? Pete, yes. All right, praise God. And you're the only one here from Bradley Avenue. Wow. But they came over here, and all of that changed, and the thing is that they all trusted Jesus. They trusted Jesus to lead them, and I'm glad he did lead them, because those churches are now gone. None of those buildings, one of them's gone. The other buildings really run down, but there's no church happening in any of those places. But it is here, and they contributed to what we have here today. They helped make this, and so we can keep going forward. And we have to trust Jesus as we go forward. And we have to pray. Secondly, we have to pray and listen. Pray for the Holy Spirit and listen to what Holy Spirit's saying. Number three is we have to have, when you nominate someone, character has to be the first filter that they pass through. Character matters. Character is essential. We don't nominate people if we question their character. And if we question their character, then we need to have proof or evidence that there is something that's off there. But you don't move forward if someone's character is off already. And then we look for wisdom. We look for shepherds' hearts. Peter said in his letter, he said to the elders, "To the elders among you, be shepherds of God's flock." Just as Jesus asked Peter to be a shepherd, he's now asking others to be shepherds. Because Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Take care of my flock." And that is a quality that we want to be looking at in people who we nominate. We want to make sure they have character. We want to make sure they operate in wisdom. And wisdom isn't intelligence. Okay, there's a big difference. You can be a really brilliant fool. Don't say I know some. But right? I mean, that's sad. I mean, smart people come in handy sometimes. They really do. They figure things out that you know the rest of us can't. But wisdom can come from these children, and you know it when you hear it. You say that's wisdom. It's not something that is measured by an IQ test or any other kind of test except the test of life. But you know that when people carry wisdom, you know it, and you feel it, and you sense it in them. And you just say, that's a wise thing, or that's a wise person, right? It's different. And the shepherd's heart is something that has to not only be like nurturing, be able to feed, right? Because feeding the food is feeding the word. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, an elder should be an apt teacher, meaning that elders, leaders, need to be able to articulate the faith and help people understand the faith. And that doesn't just happen on Sunday mornings. That's something that happens all the time. That's something that happens in small groups. That's something that happens in Bible studies. That's something that happens one-on-one. But an elder has to be able to articulate the faith and to say why the Apostles' Creed is hanging in our church. What is it about this that that we would hang up, and the majority, if not all, of Christian churches will come back to and say, this we all hold together as of primary importance. A first level issue is whether or not you agree with the things that are here. Leaders need to be able to articulate why. Why is that? And why are other issues not on there? Why doesn't it list, for example, we just talked about today, why doesn't it list women in ministry? Because that's a secondary issue. It's not an issue that we break fellowship over. It's not an issue that we have to have the same mind of. It's an issue that comes after the main issues, and that is what we fellowship around. That is what we create the community of God around. And all the other issues, people will land in different places. But we don't break fellowship when we agree on all of that. You see the difference? And that's what elders have to do. They have to be able to articulate that kind of thing. And for us specifically here at Bradley Epworth, there are three things that an elder leader must be, and that is Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Spirit-filled. That's our byline. Those are our hashtags, right? Thank you. Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled. The Bible. Not just that I believe in the Bible, but I know the Bible. I love the Bible. I want to know it more. I live the Bible. It forms my life. My life is not looking at how the Bible can conform around me or how I can make it work with what I want or what my other ideas and ideologies and thoughts are and how the Bible is where I form my life around it, right? I have to say, well, that is what was revealed by God, and I need to form myself around that, not the other way around, and to be able to convey that truth and to, you have an insatiable desire to just keep eating more food. You just can't get enough. It's like, you just can't. It's a beautiful gift, but it's an anointing from God. It's a blessing from God, and I think God gives that to leaders. And the other is to be Christ-centered, to know that Jesus is my King. All the things that the world would, pull me, like this, that, the other thing, political ideologies, and all sorts of other things. It's like, I have a King. I have a King. And I'm a citizen of his kingdom already. And I serve him. And I'm on loan. The King has loaned me out as an ambassador to the United States of America. Did you guys know that I'm an ambassador? I represent a different kingdom. And I'm here in the United States to be an ambassador to represent that kingdom and to talk about my King and about our country that is eternal. And that is a Christ-centered meaning that I have forsaken the world for him, just like Zuri did this morning. I have forsaken the world for him, and he has shaped my life around him and his body, the church. And Holy Spirit-filled, a person must have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. If a person is Spirit-filled, you will see those things. If all of those things are absent, something's wrong. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the gifts of the Spirit, those things that God gives us to be able to use the Holy Spirit to do different things, those gifts must be at least evident or at least pursued, right? Evident or pursued, like there's a pursuit of that. Not just somebody who says, yeah, I believe in the gifts, but somebody who says, no, I'm pursuing the gifts. I want the gifts, and I want to see the gifts being displayed and used and utilized in the body of Christ. And finally, number seven is love, without which there is nothing, as you know. I can be all of these things, but if I have not love, I'm nothing. So those are the qualities and the qualifications and the things we should be looking at as we make nominations. And our nominations matter because leadership matters, because the church matters, because people matter to God. God said, when in Jesus, he said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. Do you remember the parables of the lost coin? Somebody lost a coin and they found their coin and they rejoiced. And Jesus said, that's how God's heart feels when somebody gives their life to him. He's so happy. He calls everybody up. Hey, Peter, John, come over here. Quick. Zuri just got baptized today. This is really cool. And they say the angels have a party. They had a Zuri party today. You guys going to the Zuri party? Oh, yeah. When is that? That's Sunday. What time? Oh, 10 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to be there. So all the angels were hanging out, right, and watching and rejoicing. And heaven's a happy place. And they get excited about these things. The lamb that the shepherd found, the son that returned, a six-year-old with an empty place. And you know what? I'm sorry, I keep using you, but we have a bunch of six-year-olds down there. And it's like, what's our responsibility here, folks? Wow, what's our opportunity? You know, right? What's our opportunity to bring them into this this knowledge of the graciousness of God? So that those are the things we're going to look for, and those are the things we want our leaders to have, because, like I said before, nominations matter because leadership matters, because church matters, because people matter to God. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they were not getting it. He looked at them and he said, they don't know. The Messiah is with them and they can't see it. Jesus was weeping. God cries. God weeps at loss, at the idea of people losing their souls. So, God knows the effects of sin in this world, dear ones. He knows the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the violence, the tragedy, the death, the loss, and the grief that affect all of us. And in the midst of it all, he says, come to me, all you who have a weary soul and who are carrying a heavy weight. If there's anybody here this morning who feels like their soul is weary, it's just been hard, it's been difficult, you feel like you're carrying a heavy weight, whether that's wounds from others or your own sin and the consequences of that sin, or just all the things that are going on in the world, he says, come to me, like right now. And I can give your soul rest, and I can fill the empty place with my peace, my healing, my restoration, my love, my forgiveness, and my grace. And the truth is, nothing else is going to be able to. I'm it. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. So Jesus, we ask that you bless this process. We ask that you bless our church as you lead us forward. We ask, Lord, that that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in the nomination of elders, in becoming your body on the earth. And fulfilling all that you have planned for us and all that you desire for us. And Jesus, I ask right now that if there's anybody here today who's feeling an emptiness, even if they know you, but life has kind of worn away that initial enthusiasm and joy, Jesus, I just ask that you invite them again to say, just take me in, come to me, come to me, come to me. I can give your soul rest, and I can fill the empty place. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.